Good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We have some election news. Democratic Congressman Harley Ruda has conceded defeat to Republican Michelle Steele in Orange County's 48th Congressional District. Steele chairs the Orange County Board of Supervisors, so a seat that had flipped from Republican to Democratic with Harley Ruda's election a couple of years ago now flips back Republican with Michelle Steele winning that Orange County seat. Joining us is KPCC politics reporter Libby Dankman. So Libby, we have some big news in that race this morning.
Yeah, you know, those ballots were trending towards Steele, you know, in each successive count. And the last I looked with the latest LA County numbers, she was up by over 7,000 votes. And, you know, with about 23,000 left to count in, 27,000 left to count in all of Orange County, there simply wasn't any ability for Ruda to catch up there. That was also the district in Orange County with the largest Republican voter registration advantage. So it was definitely never a given for Ruda to be able to hang on to that seat. And it just proves that Orange County still remains a very purple area.
And that North Orange County shared congressional seat, is that still votes still being counted up there?
Votes still being counted. That seat, the 39th district, is shared by Los Angeles, San Bernardino, and the bulk is in Orange County. Young Kim, the former state assemblywoman, also used to be a staffer for Ed Royce, who held that seat, the Republican, before he retired. She leads by about 3,500 votes over incumbent Democrat Gil Cisneros. Again, extremely close. That race wasn't called in 2018 for about a week, and we are about a week out. Still hasn't been called, but definitely is trending in Young Kim's favor, and we'll have to wait and see as these votes come in.
So, Libby, what are analysts saying about the one seat flipping Republican with the potential that the other seat could flip Republican and go back? Is it the different electorate? Is it Republican registration going up? What are the factors people are pointing to?
You know, I think that we're looking in Orange County at an area of ticket splitters. You know, these congressional districts will go overwhelmingly to Joe Biden, and they went in 2016 for Hillary Clinton. But you see folks in Orange County, you know, doing something that's rare in this day and age, which is voting down ticket for one party and another ticket for president. And I think that that's going to be something that we also see in the 25th district, which is too close to call in North LA County and Eastern Ventura County, where Democrat Christy Smith has now retaken the lead as votes are being counted over incumbent Mike Garcia, who won that special election in May. That one extremely close. She's up by about 1,200 votes. And we haven't gotten new numbers out of Ventura County recently, and those have been trending for the Republican. So I think what you see in California is, again, folks may be looking to put a balance or a check on their vote for president down ticket. They're willing to stick with their local Republican, whereas they were tired of President Trump or, you know, never supported him. And it's going to be interesting to kind of dive into those exit polls and more research as that comes out.
Well, and it's an indictment of the Trump campaign, I would argue, because when you see people who consider themselves Republican with their local representatives, but not being willing to vote for the party's nominee, then that's the candidate not being able to make himself appealing enough to people who are Republican friendly.
Appealing to California Republicans, I mean, that's for sure. In these parts of Orange County and North LA County, Eastern Ventura County, of course, he turned out a record number of Republicans nationally. And in many of these swing states, he did very well, not as well as Joe Biden, but still, I mean, outperformed everything that we expected in terms of the polling ahead of this race. So, you know, I think that what you're seeing is also that Republicans in parts of California are just really different Republicans than other parts of the country, right? And I think that the party has to think about how to reach out to all of their potential voters in the future. Of course, California's presidential vote, in terms of the number of Republicans, is never going to really make a huge difference. And I think that winning these down ticket races in Congress is a big win for California Republicans.
We're talking with KPCC Politics reporter Libby Dankman. Also with us is Ben Christopher of the nonprofit statewide news site CalMatters. He covers California politics and elections. Ben, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Ben, let's talk a little bit about potential replacements for Kamala Harris, who's leaving, of course, her U.S. Senate seat to become the vice president. Who are some of the people that it's thought Gavin Newsom would have on his short list?
Sure. So, I mean, just to preface this, at this point, I think it's still a big guessing game, kind of a parlor game for political nerds across the state. The governor has not named anyone specifically yet, but I think the conventional wisdom is that the governor is going to be under a lot of pressure to pick a person of color, especially a Latino senator, potentially, because California has never had a Latino represent the state in the U.S. Senate, which I think is pretty remarkable given that Latinos make up the state's largest ethnic group. There may also be some pressure on the governor to appoint a woman. California has been represented by two women in the U.S. Senate since 1992. Dianne Feinstein, obviously, and then first Barbara Boxer, who is replaced by Kamala Harris. And because only about a quarter of U.S. senators are women, the governor might be hesitant to be the one to reduce that number, especially given California's long history. And then given that Harris is a Black woman and a South Asian woman, there's likely pressure on the governor also to appoint a woman of color in particular. And I guess it's also just worth pointing out that Governor Newsom has this kind of penchant for making history as far as representation goes. He was the mayor in San Francisco who ordered the city to begin issuing marriage licenses back in 2004. And then just recently as governor last month, he nominated Martin Jenkins to the state Supreme Court. And he's a Black man, and he would be the court's first openly gay member. And so even without these kind of political pressures, I imagine the governor might feel compelled to break new ground in some way. But again, just a lot of speculation at this point. The names that we hear from political consultants who study this stuff for a living, and they may or may not know what they're talking about. But the names that you often hear are Alex Padilla, that often comes to the top of the list. That's the Secretary of State. He's a close Newsom ally. He was the chair of Newsom's first unsuccessful run for governor. And I think, with so much focus on election procedure and voting rights and the specter of voter fraud over the last 4 years, I think he's kind of become a bit better known nationally as sort of a representative of a more sort of progressive or democratic approach to election procedure, in which trying to expand the franchise as much as possible. He's also a Latino and the son of Mexican immigrants. So I think his name comes up a lot. You also hear Attorney General Javier Becerra, really well known in Washington, where he was on the House Democratic leadership team. And then obviously as Attorney General of the state, he has been one of the more aggressive litigants against the Trump administration. He's sued the administration over 100 times now. So within the sort of the anti-Trump resistance, so to speak, he's a big name. He's also Latino. He's also the son of Mexican immigrants. And then other names you hear, Hilda Solis, a county supervisor down in L.A., a big name in the California Democratic Party, also has some Washington experience, the former labor secretary. Robert Garcia, his name, the Long Beach mayor, he's young, he's openly gay, he's Latino. So again, a lot of different names are floated, but still a big speculation game at this point.
Yeah, Karen Bass, you'd have to think, would be under consideration. Yep. Who chairs the Congressional Black Caucus, Los Angeles area House member. If you want to weigh in with who you think would be the best choice for Governor Newsom to appoint to replace Kamala Harris for the remainder of her term, we're at 866-893-KPECC. The governor could, of course, call a special election. He has that option, but it's hard to imagine when a governor has the opportunity to make such a statement in appointing someone that he wouldn't take advantage of that. Ben Christopher, will anyone take the bet that the governor would call a special election?
If anyone's taking that bet, they'd probably want some pretty long odds on that bet. The 17th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution does give state legislatures the ability to sort of give governors the ability to appoint a vacancy in the U.S. Senate. California, like 36 other states, gives the governor that ability. And so I think the governor would not be likely to sort of pass up the opportunity to have a friend in a very high place, so to speak, someone who is basically indebted to him politically, who is in the U.S. Senate. And obviously there is some calls. Kevin Kiley, a Republican assembly member from north of Sacramento, he introduced a bill last year that would require a special election for an open Senate seat in California, which is the case for open seats in the House. But obviously that didn't really go anywhere. So I don't think it's very likely that we're going to see a special. The person, whoever, assuming that the governor does appoint someone, will serve the term through 2022.
Ben Christopher with us of Cal Matters. He covers California politics and elections, KPCC's own politics reporter, Libby Denkman, with us. So Libby, your thoughts on some of the folks who are likely on the governor's shortlist?
Yeah, I think I'm going with Ben on this, by the way, that the governor is definitely going to want to take that appointment. I mean, almost overwhelmingly.
Who wouldn't?
To quote, to paraphrase Rod Blagojevich when he ended up selling basically the Obama Senate seat when it was vacated, he has this thing that's golden, and it's a lot of power. The seats in the California, to represent California in the Senate are extremely safe. I mean, the last time that somebody lost re-election was in 1992, and that was somebody who had, been appointed to fill in for Pete Wilson when he won the governorship. And, you have to go back to the 70s to see the last person who lost before that. I think that Governor Newsom is going to have to look at, a number of factors. Of course, representation matters. And as Ben pointed out, Newsom likes to make a statement. He likes to be a first. He was administering gay marriages as the mayor of San Francisco before, that was federally recognized. And he has made a number of appointments that were, high profile in their pioneering way that they expanded representation for women, people of color, gay people. You also have to think about loyalty from the governor's perspective. Alex Padilla, the Secretary of State, is one of his inner circle. He's been a longtime supporter and somebody who even chaired his early gubernatorial bid before Jerry Brown got into the race. Alex Padilla was there for Newsom before Newsom ended up dropping out of that. But then you also have to think about personal strategy. And I think that Newsom himself is looking at Kamala Harris in the White House, a logical next choice to be a top Democratic contender for president when Biden leaves office. And where does Newsom go from the governorship of California? There's an assumption that Dianne Feinstein will step down from her seat in a few years. She's, in her 80s at this point. And does Newsom decide to run for that second Senate seat in California? If he does that, the optics of having another man in office when you had two strong women senators representing California for so long, I think that it benefits Newsom to have appointed a woman in that seat. And so, again, this is so much speculation, Larry, but yeah, you have to think about all these factors that are playing in Newsom's head.
We have Renee says, I nominate Adam Schiff. We need someone with experience who can help stand up to Mitch McConnell. Renee of Pasadena with that. Rod in Pasadena says the next senator should be a Latino because we have a majority in the state. Javier Becerra, Kevin De Leon, and Alex Padilla should be the front runners for the seat. Let's see. DP in the Crenshaw District says there's several great candidates. Ilda Solis, Karen Bass and Alex Padilla would be my top three, DP says. Hilda would be the only Latina of those. They're the only ones with the skills that would be needed to bring to the table. You can share your picks on the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. You can also tweet at Air Talk or post on the Air Talk Facebook page. Let me shift gears just a moment to give us the latest on Los Angeles and Orange County turnout figures. Orange County Registrar Neil Kelly will join us in about 2 minutes here. But where do we stand on the counting of ballots?
Yeah, in Los Angeles, there are still about 200,000 outstanding ballots to be counted as of the last report. And the majority of those are still some vote-by-mail ballots that have arrived since Election Day. There's also 87,000 conditional registration ballots out there. And that's largely people who walked in on Election Day, did same-day registration, and they have to have their information confirmed and then their ballots counted. You also have some, you know, damaged ballots, a few provisionals outstanding. But when all said and done, you know, currently, as the count stands, there's been about 4.1 million votes cast in LA County, and that turnout would be about 73%, which exceeds 2016 by a long shot, which was about 67% turnout. Doesn't match, say, you know, 2008 when there was the turnout was in the 80s. In Orange County, you're looking at just about 27,000 votes left to be count. Most of those also conditional registrations, same-day registrations, most likely. And the turnout there is already 85%, which exceeds 2016, which was, you know, about 82%. And Neil Kelly can talk more about, you know, the adoption of vote by mail and the interest in those down-ballot races and what maybe drove that turnout. But yeah, definitely huge turnout in Orange County. And also, you know, an uptick in turnout in LA County, where they also added several hundred thousand voter registrations since the last presidential election.
Before I let you go, Libby, I mean, it seems to me that particularly in Los Angeles County, this election was so different than the primary in terms of the smoothness, how the vote centers were able to handle everybody who came to them. And is it for many of the folks you've talked to in the registrar's office in LA County, are they patting themselves on the back at all that this seemed to go so much more smoothly?
I mean, it did. And Neil Kelly, you know, can talk about what happened in Orange County. LA County certainly saw a difference because this was the first time that the county sent ballots to everyone in the mail. And that was something they adopted the Voters' Choice Act changes to consolidate to vote centers and to, you know, provide more services at fewer locations. But unlike all the other counties in the state, Los Angeles did not adopt the universal vote by mail ballots going out to everyone for the March primary. Other counties that had adopted the Voters' Choice Act also took the other part of the law, which was to send ballots to everyone. And I think that we saw in March, it was just a combination of new technology, new ballot marking machines, and particularly these digital check-in iPads that were hooked up to the voter database statewide that really slowed things down, created bottlenecks at vote centers in March. And then the addition of not having the release valve of the voter, the vote by mail ballots going out to everyone. Now, COVID really threw a wrench in everything and also, I think, raised people's awareness of getting their vote in safely and how they were going to vote. And you have to give a ton of credit to Registrar Dean Logan and his team, and then also all the community groups who helped raise awareness of using that vote by mail ballot, because it certainly took the pressure off the vote centers. We did not see, by and large, any long, you know, lines longer than 45 minutes anywhere that I saw throughout the county. So a huge difference in the way this election was administered, and also just shows the value of that vote by mail ballot. And I think that, you know, that the assembly and state senators are talking about expanding that and making that a regular thing, that California sends ballots to everyone. And from an LA County perspective, I'd say that would really help us out.
Well, and then there was the ability to go online and see where a line was at a vote center. I don't know that people needed to use that because it went so smoothly at the overwhelming majority of vote centers. But that was also an option to help people with that. Libby, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know you spoke yesterday with Nithya Raman, who is the council member elect for LA's 4th District. We'll look for that at VoterGamePlan.com, the website which has all your coverage. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Larry.
Libby Dankman with us, KPCC politics reporter, and also our thanks to CalMatters reporter Ben Christopher with the statewide nonprofit news organization. Coming up, as I mentioned, Neil Kelly, Registrar of Voters for Orange County, they're going to be conducting an audit of their whole election process, and that really got my attention as a voting nerd. I really wanted to find out what goes into that. I find that fascinating, and I'm sure Neil will tell us all about it in depth coming up in just 90 seconds.